I can throw candy at the camera, I guess. I can do that. And or when you get to church, you get to slap Bob. I don't know. We can do something like that. And all right, Matthew chapter 20. But I'm trying to figure that. Maybe for Sunday night we'll have that set up. We'll try and do some sword drills. And the first one to text in with the right verse will win. All right, Matthew 21. Let me get there myself. And just a couple of verses here, and we'll get going. All right, verse number 18. 22 is the main verse I want, but I'll set the context of it going back to verse 18. But 22 is what we're driving at here. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon the fig tree withered away. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done under the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things," this is the verse we're going to use as a springboard here this evening, "and all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the service tonight. We pray that we'd have just minimal distractions at home and even here in our service. Lord, that your word would still be effective. Lord, we thank you that the power is in your word. And Lord, we thank you for this medium that we can use to still hold services and get your word out. And Lord, it's possible with everything going on right now that there's more people hearing tonight than ever would without this virus even taking place right now. And so, Lord, we do pray that you'd bless and protect our church. And I pray this would be help tonight. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I would imagine with all the stuff that's going down with the hunker down order in Anchorage right now, that many people are getting things done around the house that they haven't for a long time. Different projects that need to get done and, you know, cleaning out something or redoing something or whatever the case might be. But it's obvious it's a good time. People have time. I can get this done. I can get this done and try and get certain things in order. I think it's even more so a great time to get things in order spiritually in our life. And I believe that starts with a prayer life. If there's one area that's going to be attacked, it's going to be your prayer life more than any other area. More than your Bible reading time, more than your faithfulness to church, more than your faithfulness to soul winning, what's going to be attacked first and as a priority of the devil is to attack your prayer time. And a lot of times we allow it to happen. Here's one of the reasons why. This ain't even in the message yet, but just think about this. Your personal prayer time is one of the things that you can't show off. You can't. You can't show that off. You can't display that. Your faithfulness to church is displayed. People display their Bible reading all the time. Now, don't you love those little Facebook posts? Click. Here's a picture of me reading my Bible. That's pathetic. Please don't do that. But you can't show that off. So it's easier for you to set that aside a little bit. But it's anyhow, your prayer time will be attacked. There's no question about it. It's going to be attacked. And while we have a little bit more time on our hands right now, maybe some more times in the morning, what a great opportunity to put some things in place that maintain even when this is over with, because this needs to be in place in our life. And again, it's been said, you show me your prayer life and I'll show you how strong of a Christian you are. That's very true. It is prayer that strengthens your Christian life. It's key. It is a Christian discipline that is essential in our life. Again, it's going to be attacked. I learned as a teenager when I first started growing, that was one thing I remember that it seemed in almost all the messages and conferences I would go to that the Lord was driving home to my heart was the importance of prayer. How important that was to be in my life and to begin taking it seriously. And I did then. I remember setting up an established time, even back then as a teenager, setting up two times a day, the morning time, which is just critical, and then even a separate time later on. I think it's an imperative in our life. It's imperative for your walk. It's imperative for your protection. It's imperative for your effectiveness as a Christian. And besides, it's actually being able to talk to God. Isn't that just incredible? I mean, even if none of those things were really a part of it, it's talking to the Creator. That's just incredible. So anyhow, as we come to our text now in Matthew, 21, 22 primarily there. In any study of prayer, We have to start with faith. Faith is a key. It's essential to it. It's a must. It's faith is what's going to cause you to pray to the invisible. It's faith that's going to cause you to get up in the morning and get on your knees and talk. It's faith that's, you know, in knowing that the God who you've never seen, that you're going to pray to. The evidence of him, of course, is everywhere. But nonetheless, it's faith that causes you to pray to the invisible. And I assure you, when your faith isn't praying, your faith is weak or dead. One of the two. Faith will lead you to prayer. Prayer is sort of the vehicle that is given to us to project our faith on God. In our verses, the disciples, of course, are soon going to be apart from Christ. If you remember, we just recently come through all these chapters. Matthew 21, we're what, a little over 48 hours at this point when he came back to the fig tree from Christ being on the cross. It's 2 days away. 2 days away from the cross. Christ knows what's coming. The disciples still don't understand. And he's trying to give them a principle here that's going to help them. The importance of faith and prayer. He knows they're going to be facing tremendous mountains. He knows that they're no longer going to have Christ's physical presence right there. And they're going to need faith to drive them to the invisible. So he's letting them know the power of faith and prayer. And the fact is, you can move mountains in your life through faith and prayer. It will be attacked by the devil. This spiritual discipline, he goes after. Because he knows, with it, you can move mountains. He knows the power and effectiveness that prayer will have in your life. He knows the measure of protection that it can give you. He knows how effective it can make you in your life. He knows how that faithfulness to prayer each morning, how that changes your day. It's going to be attacked. He'll find one way or another to attack it. I mean, think of what he said here in Matthew 21, 22. You better believe the devil's going to attack this. He said, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's going to be attacked. It certainly is. Now, this faith, of course, is in God. I mentioned that on Sunday. You can have faith, but it's important what your faith is placed in. And this faith needs to be placed in God. It's not faith in anything else. It's not in your dreams. It's not in your ideas. It's faith in God. This verse is not teaching, by the way. Let me just cover this. Boy, if I go and I ask God for a brand new Bentley, he's going to give it to me. That's ridiculous. This is dealing with a spiritual person who is desiring God. That's going to get, if I get to that here this evening, that's going to be basically the second point of this message. The importance of a fervent prayer. What part that plays in our prayer life. So this isn't dealing with that nonsense that you see within our charismatic circles nowadays, the name it, claim it, and none of that. Now, look at Luke 22. I want you to see the importance of faith in a few different places in Scripture. Luke 22. It's odd not hearing all the Bibles turning pages right now, by the way, so... All right. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32 here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord knew Peter was a target. He knew Peter's zeal. He knew Peter would be determined to do something for the Lord. He knew Peter took it seriously, and he knew Peter was a target. Look what he says in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord knew what Satan was going to try and destroy in Peter was his faith. It was his faith. If he gets his faith, he has him. He's not going to be effective. He's not going to be praying as he should. It changes the entire ballgame of his life if he can just destroy his faith. Again, if he destroys your faith, he renders you ineffective for the Lord. The devil will constantly be trying to remind you of any thought he can to try and render your faith less, to try and destroy it. diminish it. Anything he can do to try and lessen your faith. Because again, faith is what's going to drive you to prayer. As I said before, don't miss it. I was saying before, if you're not praying, you have no faith. Faith drives you to prayer. When you really believe God, you pray. You pray. Satan will attack faith today because he knows what it can do, the effectiveness it can have. He attacks from faith in God's word, faith in God himself, faith in Christianity, you name it. He attacks it. Look at 2 Peter 1, chapter 1. Another verse in the importance of faith. We saw Satan goes after it when the Lord was with Peter and talking about there in Luke 22 and 32. Now look at this. And verse 5 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And besides this, giving all diligence. What's the foundational thing here? Add to your faith virtue. And from there it goes on to virtue, knowledge, etc. But the foundation here, the starting point, the basis of the other graces in our life is faith. It's faith. It's foundational. It's essential. Your prayer life will be nothing without it. You see, it's faith. Look at John chapter 14. This had better be right. My memory might be failing me here. John 14. Yeah, that'll work. I don't know. That's quite the verse I'm looking for. I still could use Matthew 21:22 for it about whatsoever you ask, believe in and pray you shall receive. And John 14:12 is the verse that came to mind, and it does deal with faith, but not quite the verse I was thinking of. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And of course, the importance of faith and the works that we're doing greater, but it's faith that the point I wanted to drive at here is faith that what drives the impossible in our life. It's faith that allows that to take place because there's nothing impossible to God. And so it's faith that's going to drive you to prayer to get God to move on your behalf where the impossible begins to take place. We can't move mountains, but God can. He can. Faith and prayer do great things that are centered on Christ and his ability. Again, I remember usually I do this lesson when I'm teaching on why we say in Jesus' name when we pray. And it's not that there's magic in those words, but there's a principle that goes with it. And sometimes I'll use the illustration of a checking account. If I was to write a check out of my checking account right now for a few dollars, it's not going to help you any. They're going to tell you, nope, this isn't enough. Now, if I take Jerry Jordan up there. And he's shaking his head no. But you take, let's see, let's take Bill Gates. If you walk into the bank with a real check from Bill Gates for $2 million versus my name, who are they going to believe? They're going to have trust because it's in Bill Gates' name. He's established. He has it. He has the resources. He has the funds where I do not. So if I was to go to the bank and say, listen, here's this check. It's not in my name. They know I don't have it. But it's in his name. He has the resources. It would be cashed and deposited. Well, when we pray, many times we focus on our own account, but it's broke. But when I come to the conclusion of my prayer and I'm saying in Christ's name, it's just reminding me of the grace that I need to have this prayer answered. That it's not based on my righteousness right now. That I'm coming before God in Christ's name. Lord, that I know I don't deserve this. That I'm coming before you in his name. So point being, it's allowing faith to remember that what we're asking for is based upon Christ's ability and standing, not mine. Not mine. We see it throughout Scripture, faith and prayer. The leper, thou canst make me clean. The faith he demonstrated. The blind man, well, there are several. I'm thinking of the one in John 9. Believe you that I'm able to do this. The faith that was involved. And as I saw in John chapter 14 and verse 12, our work for God depends on prayer. It really does. What we're doing, what we're trying to do right here in Alaska, those of you who are Sunday school teachers and ministry leaders in different positions, even your own, of course, personal life, prayer is essential to the success of that class, of that ministry, of the prison ministry. Prayer is essential to that. Other points about faith and prayer. Faith is it has a lot of great attributes. It does a lot of stuff for us. It covers not only the temporal, but it also covers the spiritual needs. For instance, faith, when it's strong, removes your worry about physical needs. It does. You know God's in control and He's going to meet them. It removes those. But faith also brings peace. Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. It covers every area of your life. Now, this is important about faith to remember. Faith lives in the present. It's in the present. It's not apart from that. Give us this day our daily bread. A lot of times, this is where we can go wrong when it comes to faith. We live too much in tomorrow instead of today. No amount of prayer done today will suffice for tomorrow's. It won't. Faith lives in the present, the day that you're in. Doesn't mean don't pray for things tomorrow. What I'm saying is you can't think that when you get up in the morning again each morning, you need to be on your knees in prayer using faith. Didn't matter what you did the day before. That day's over with. It's done. You have a new day that starts. I don't care how spiritual you were on Tuesday. You needed it again today. It's in the present. Delay is often the test of the strength of your faith. Delay. God often delays prayers. As all of us know, He answers prayers in three ways. Yes, no, or not now. And all are good answers and all are real answers. Sometimes we think, well, no is an answer. No, it's an answer. It's an answer that you want, by the way, for what you're asking. But delay is often a test. It measures your strength of faith. You can think of John chapter 11 with Lazarus as one of my favorite examples in the Bible of it. Remember, Lazarus is dying. And they send the servants to let Jesus know. When the servants left, Lazarus died. He was dead before the servants got to Christ. Then they get to the Lord, and he lets them know. And the Bible says this, and the Lord waited 2 days before he went back on purpose. And then he lets them know throughout why he delayed. It really is amazing. I have a whole sermon. I preached it already here before, but it's one of my favorite sermons that I preached, by the way, is that message on Lazarus. But delay is often a test. Lack of faith will always cause poor praying, a lack of faithfulness to prayer, little praying, unanswered prayers. And we can understand what faith does just when you go through Hebrews chapter 11. Faith produces an action. Noah built an ark. Abraham journeyed looking for that city. It produces an action. We should do as the disciples did and say, and it's a part of my prayer time, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I also believe this, that in going back to Hebrews chapter 11, while I'm thinking of that chapter right now, the spirit of a pilgrim or the mentality of a pilgrim here on this earth helps you to pray instead of getting so caught up in this world. I believe it helps you to pray. Second part of this, I think I got three parts here. I'll get into the third part, I think, next Wednesday. But the second part of this I want to touch on here this evening before we finish. And that is fervency. Look at James chapter 5. Let's go to James chapter 5. Now, there's different teaching on prayer and by a lot of really, really good men. I'm thinking of a book I read on prayer by an amazing man of God who I couldn't come close to him spiritually at all. But I remember when I read his book on prayer, he had a couple of chapters on this idea. I remember having trouble believing it when I read it, because I'd already read through the Bible a couple times by this point in time. And he had said this, that prayer is so important to God, which it is. I don't question that. I think it's, just as I'm saying, I'm teaching on it now, it's essential to our life. That he gives different keys to getting prayer answered. And all you have to have is one of them. If you have one of them, I don't think that's true. I think these things flow together as a result of a spiritual life. All right. In other words, he said you can have one man who's excellent on obedience. And we're seeing one of the lessons, that the key of obedience and faith. He said that's his key to getting prayer. For another, he's strong in faith. And for another, you know, he gave all the different scenarios. I don't see that to be true in Scripture. As I can see, it's not that you have to have this huge checklist to have this, this, and this. The fact is, when you're walking with God, this is what's produced. It's what's produced. Anyhow, James chapter 5. Where am I at here? Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A fervency in prayer. This is tied in with another key word, desire. You can't separate fervency from desire. You can't be fervent about anything unless desire is present. All right? You can't. It's the controlling mechanism of fervency is desire. The two go together. A desire is not a wish, but it's an intense longing which leads to fervency. All right? Again, the Bible tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, what the Lord desires more than anything, and what he uses prayer in a great way in your life to produce, is a heart for him. I think he uses several key things, from the preaching of the Word of God to the being in the Bible and study. But boy, prayer is right there. No less than either of those two other things. In no way. Matter of fact, you can find people who are in the Word of God every day, but yet lack heart and desire for God. But I don't believe you'll ever find a person with an incredibly strong prayer life that doesn't have a heart for God. That the Lord desires your heart. The Bible says even to be like fire for him. Jeremiah spoke of his heart burning within him. Even in Revelation 3, when he was, you know, I would that thou were hot or cold. The Lord wants a passion for him. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. He wants your heart behind it. A great quote. It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without heart. It's your heart that he wants. You see, it's that desire with fervency that leads to unceasing prayer. Because that desire wants it. It produces fervency, which leads to what? An effective prayer life. And again, if faith isn't present, you can forget this one. If faith isn't present, your desire is not going to be there at God. It won't. It won't take place. When faith is the foundation, trying to build us some stepping stones through this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, if you have no spiritual desires, your prayers will be weak and without any heart, if at all, if they even exist. They will have no strength. Desire is something that's intense. All right, we recognize that emotion and what it leads to. In this case, I'm driving at fervency. But desire is something that's intense, but it's very narrow. Your heart will focus on one thing, basically, in life, at a time. It'll grab, that'll control that desire. There's something there that has that. So it's intense, but it's narrow. And so the devil does his best to keep that off of God. Because that's where it should be. That's where it should be. Too often our desire is set on something else, but our desire should be on God. As Christ said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. So what is your desire on? Now, let me stress this. It's not necessarily in us. We're not left. It's not like you can just flip a switch right now. You can hear me preaching this. It's not like you can just go and flip a switch and say, okay, I desire God. You can't. I mean, that'd be a piece of cake if we could do that. That's not the world we live in. So it's not, I don't know if I'll use the word process, but I guess I can't think of a better word right now. But you are in control of trying to set the direction of where your desire is going. And when God begins to recognize that you're stepping towards Him, the great thing is He helps with this greatly. He is the one, when you see you make that sincere heart desiring Him, He will flip that switch. You know, one of the things, well, I can think of how many times I'd pray that for Him, the daily prayer time over and over and over. Lord, give me the want to read. That's exactly how I'd pray. Lord, give me the want to pray. Give me the want to study. I wanted the desire of it more than anything. Because you know what that'll do? It'll make it effective. It'll keep my heart in it. As we surrender our life to God and focus on Him, I believe He begins to control those desires of your heart, as the psalmist tells us. I believe it when it talks about in the psalm, He gives us the desires of the heart. I believe that's what He's talking about, right desires. And I think it's something we should be praying for. Again, when you have fervency and desire that's in place there, it changes how you pray. I mean, just think. Look over when maybe it was a job you had in the past, a job that you loved versus one you didn't. Roy, did you enjoy the Air Force? Do you enjoy where you're at now? It's different going to work, isn't it? Yes, because desire was in place. Same thing with the Lord. The Lord wants that desire because it'll change when you get up in the morning and how you approach Him. And how you approach Him. It'll change it. So we're going to stop there. I'll pick this up next week. We'll do some more aspects on prayer. But again, today, just the importance of faith, the foundation. It's not going to go anywhere. And then the fervency, that desire and fervency in prayer. So what we're going to do is we're going to take just a minute here. If I can have...